We thought this would be the perfect place to show that swim run can be done anywhere, and that's why we choose Engadin. And now we just love that place, and it's a really nice, challenging course to run through this Swiss valley with the cows, with the bells around their necks, and having people running beside them in wetsuits, pool boys and paddles. Really strange equipment for being up in the mountains.
Low Tide Boys, a swim run podcast. I am Chip.
And I'm Chris. This is episode 24 of the show. We got something really different today, and we think you're going to enjoy it. We are doing a super deep dive into the Uttala Engadin World Series course.
Yes, so this is a new show format. We keep mixing it up.
Yeah, we're trying something different. Engadin is going to be the first race back on sort of the world circuit of swim run.
Post-COVID.
Post-COVID. Well, still COVID,
well, yes.
But, you know.
Post-shelter
I guess it's better there. And the race was originally scheduled to be in early July, and now it's in late July. So if you still want to sign up and get out there and do it, that's still on the table for people. But we thought we've gotten a lot of feedback, people asking us to do this. And it came from a couple different sources, people asking us to do that while they're taking showers. They're coming up with these ideas, looking at you, Marcus. Greg sent us an email saying that this would be a good thing. And we, when we started the show, we thought that this would be a fun thing to do, just kind of have episodes where we're essentially featuring a race, talk to the race directors, talk to participants, mm-hmm. and really just give you as complete a picture of what this race is like. So you can make decisions, and that's basically what we try to do here.
Yeah, totally. So we wanted to give a huge thanks. So it is beyond just Chris and I, the Low Tide Boys, doing the show. We got contributions from four different people in the swim room community, and we're going to give them a special shout out here in a minute, but we both think that it's really awesome how awesome the swim run community is. I mean, this episode, to pull back the curtain a little bit, it took a lot of work. I mean, this is probably 3 to 4 weeks of work, but the fact that we can get all these different people that were willing to record something into their phone, call us at some weird hour of the night to record, just really shows how awesome this community is and really keeps Chris and I motivated and
pumped. So I'm hearing that you think that the community is awesome.
Have I mentioned that?
I think you've mentioned it.
A couple people who contributed to the show that we really just send a sincere thank you and our gratitude and appreciation to. Mots Scott from the Otolo team as well. And Laritz helped wrangle a couple of the other folks that you're going to hear about later. Helen Vickmar from Team Ad Nature. Arc Souls. Daniel Hansen, also from the Arc Sports team. He came in second place, and he's raced Engadin 4 different times. Helen's pedigree is 2 races, including a second place finish last year. And we got some great coaching tips from Nicholas Ramirez from Envol Coaching that you'll hear later on in the show. And he gives it a very excellent leg-by-leg breakdown on what to expect, as well as some training up until the Engadin course. So we won't go on any further. This is a pretty beefy episode, so we're going to just dive right into it.
Strap in. So the first question you might ask, where is Engadin? So it's in Switzerland, southeastern Switzerland. It's in a high alpine valley at an elevation of around 1,800 meters or 5,900 feet. It's in the Swiss Alps. And Engadin means Valley of the Inn People, and the N is a river that basically goes through that area, which is pretty cool. The region is known for skiing, hiking, trail running, water sports, and since 2014, swim run. Traveling to Engadin is actually pretty easy. The closest major cities, the closest city is St. Moritz, and you can take a train there from either Zurich or Milan, that are both relatively close, and we have more details of that in the show notes. But being that it's at high altitude, it's makes it just adds another challenge to a race that looks pretty awesome. This is a high altitude race, basically starting at around 1800 meters, going all the way up past 2000 meters. The Attila website describes this destination race as a fairy tale. And it really launched International Swimmer Movement in 2014 because it was the first race ever to, the first Attila race ever to happen outside of Sweden. And the weather can be really varied. It can be sunny or it can be super cold. The water tends to be pretty cold. So you might ask yourself now, why did Attila choose Engadin? And who better to hear from than the person who designed and made the course?
Bot Scott.
Matska.
The reason why you choose Engadin as our first destination was that Ötelö means in Swedish island to island, and the race was born in the Stockholm Archipelago in the sea, where we run on the islands and swim between them. And we wanted to show that swim run is a sport wherever you can do wherever you want, where it's a lake or a sea, and it's where you can run and where you can swim. So we thought the Alps would be perfect with the... And the Engadin Valley is one of the most beautiful valleys in the whole Alps, and with the beautiful, beautiful mountains and cows that are along the hillsides, the lots of lakes which have beautiful turquoise water. And it would be a stunning event, and also challenging with the altitude of being 1,800 meters above sea level in the valley. So we thought this would be the perfect place to show that swim run can be done anywhere. And that's why we choose Engadin. And now we just love that place, and it's a really nice, challenging course to run through this Swiss valley with the cows with the bells around their necks and having people running beside them in wetsuits and pool boys and paddles and really strange equipment for being up in the mountain.
I found that to be really interesting that they have so much foresight almost to like think that, oh, this can't be, we got to show that this can be done in other places besides Sweden.
Well, yeah, I mean,
that's really incredible to have that amount of foresight, I think.
Yeah, and I think it speaks to the thinking about the sport as something that needs to be showcased and sort of understand that it can happen in other places, which is pretty cool. I also really like the fact that, I mean, if you're talking to Catalina about Catalina, we were all super stoked about the bison.
I was going to say, this is the second time that Mats and Michael have promised large land mammals on the course. So if we go, I better see a damn cow.
I better hear some bells.
A big old Bessie with a huge bell clanging around, because we were promised bison, no bison. So we'll be looking out for the cows, which multiple guests that we talked to have confirmed there's cows there.
That's true.
Mott seemed to really enjoy them.
Yeah. So besides the cows with the bells, there are some really key features of this course that made Attila and Mats and the whole team figure that this was just a special place to have a race.
And it's also very important when you're training for this race, very key considerations to take into account, because it is not your normal swim run. As you'll hear Mats describe it, it's a mountain swim run.
It is some limitations because it's a heavy traffic road on one side of the valley, and on the other side there are only trails and bike trails, and it's a narrow valley with lakes in them, so we really had to follow the valley to create the course. And we also wanted to, as it is in the Alps, we really wanted to have some elevation, so to show that this is a true mountain swim run. So we started up in Maloja and then follow the valley down and finishing up in Silva Plana. And then you get the really good, lots of good views and lots of good swimming in the lakes. So that's the World Series race that we designed to discover the whole valley.
I mean, it sounds like they really took into account the natural beauty and what was available. Like, basically, you're going across the whole valley,
yeah,
and then getting some elevation. I think, yeah, if you're in the Alps, you might as well get some climbing. As you'll hear later, I think that's an understatement.
Totally. And I think it's really cool that they drop you in a couple different lakes, which some of the athletes touched on later, that the temperature can vary from lake to lake depending on what the source is.
Right.
If it's an alpine runoff or whatever. So I thought that was pretty interesting too.
Yeah, we're talking glaciers, yo.
Glacier runoff.
So with that, I think it's important to we asked Mats as well, kind of what was kind of the info that you would give swim runners at the pre-race meeting. So anyone that was coming to race this event, what would be the most important considerations that they should have?
What I think is important for the Engadine race is that it's in the mountains and the weather can change very quickly. We have had warm weather with 25 degrees Celsius, and we have also had snow on the course 1 year. So you're prepared for all type of weather conditions. And the temperature in the lakes are quite cold, so it's around between 10 to 12 degrees in the water. And that is a challenge in itself. But being well prepared and being used to the water temperature and having the right equipment, everyone will do fine. And but it's also a thing with the altitude. It's 1,800 meters on the bottom of the valley, and that is, if you're not used to altitude, you will feel that. So either you prepare long time before or you come directly in race, and then it's all fine. But it's an aspect to take in consideration when preparing for the course. Another thing is that it's in the mountains, so you will have lots of uphill. So you prepare for the steep uphills and have an efficient way of moving uphill. And also, as you go uphill, you also have the downhills. And that is something that I've experienced, that there are many people taking part of the mountain races, they forget about training the downhill. You can gain a lot of time being a skilled downhill runner without putting too much effort in. You can gain a lot of minutes or seconds being a good downhill runner. So I would train technical downhill running and also check weather forecasts and train in all weather conditions, because we've had a very cold, raining and windy. So be prepared for all weather conditions, but a truly nice and beautiful race.
Well, I thought it was really interesting to get some of those tips and just preparing for this event. Now that you have a sense of what went into designing it, why don't we tell people actually just like the facts of the race?
Cold, hard facts. Of Otolo Inkadin. And this is the World Series distance. So the total race distance is 45.4 kilometers, which for all of our stateside folks is 28.2 miles. There's 39.6 kilometers of trail running, 24.6 miles. There's 9 run sections. The swimming adds up to be 5,800 meters, which is 6,343 yards. There's 8 swim sections, so about the course is about 12.8% swimming. Your longest swim leg is going to be 1,400 meters, and that is actually one of the later swims. Your longest run is 8.5 kilometers, 5.3 miles, and that is your second to last run. The total elevation gain in this race is 1,499 meters, almost 5,000 feet of elevation gain.
At altitude.
At about 6,000 feet or 1,700 meters.
Yeah, so the World Series race starts in the town of Maloja and then ends in the town of Silva Plana, which is sort of the hub for all the pre-race activities, including packet pickup, course briefings. Like, They do the wine and cheese thing. That's where all that stuff is happening. Same thing if you're there to do the sprint or the experience distance events. Those happen the day before of the World Series, and that all starts and ends in sort of that hub. Average race times, this was based up last year's results. The winning team, Sawyer, finished in 5 hours and 27 minutes and 29 seconds. Daniel Hansen and Helen Vilkmaar, who we interview later in the show, they each finished second in 2019, which is pretty cool. Interestingly, the last team that finished last year finished in 9 hours, 21 minutes, and 31 seconds. Five teams missed a cutoff at aid stations, and then 13 teams DNF'd.
And our fun fact for Inkaden, there are 29 different countries represented at the 2019 event.
Yeah, which is awesome. I think it just shows how international the sport is. And probably, yep. You know, if you're a European and you're a swim runner, this is an easy race for you to want to get to because it sounds so awesome. As Mats mentioned, the weather on race day can be all over the place. It can be around 20 degrees Celsius during the day, about 68 degrees Fahrenheit. Again, the elevation, you're at elevation around 5,500 feet or 1,700 meters, 1,800 meters. And the water temperature, which I'm sure people have a lot of questions about, tends to be around 10 to 14 degrees Celsius or 50 to 57 degrees Fahrenheit, depending where you are along the course.
And as you heard Mats mention, they recommend dressing accordingly and wear something under your wetsuit if you know that you're the type of swim runner that's going to get cold. We have seen, including their post-race or their kind of hype videos that they do, we did see some racers have that kind of neoprene secondary swim cap underneath their official race one that you have to wear on top. So if you get cold in water, especially water that's 10 degrees Celsius, then you know, plan accordingly.
Exactly. I think it's interesting to paraphrase Atala's description of the World Series course. It's challenging and beautiful. It's like, okay, gotcha. And then they end that whole section by saying, this is tough. Like, all right, noted. The uphills are rewarded by amazing views. I hope so, because if they're not, that would just be hopefully amazing views of cows with bells and stuff. So the course is really tough. Now, we managed to chat with Daniel Hansen, who finished second last year. He's raced the event four times, and he gave us some tips for race day based on his experience of the event. So we want to share that with you.
I think I've been doing it four times. So that probably is something I like about the race. It's a tough race. I think maybe it's the challenge I'm attracted to. When I go to Engadin, I first think of the altitude race. The race is the lowest point is 1,800 meter, and I think the highest point is 2,200. It's not extreme altitude, but for most of the racers who live close to by sea level, it's will be a challenge. It tricks your body in some way. So I'm mostly aware of that and keeping an extra thinking of how hard I push my body, because if I push it too hard, it will very fast not work. So I keep an extra eye, so to say, on how hard I push it. We are in Switzerland. The best thing that they have there is the environment and the nature. I mostly go there some days before, like 3 or 4 days before, just to acclimatize for the altitude. It's very individual how you acclimatize for the altitude, how well your body and how many days you need. I used to go there four days before. And then we do some hikes up on the hill just to move your legs, but also to get a good view of the environment and the area. It's very beautiful. So give it an extra time to walk around the hills.
So Daniel shared some great tips there about how to acclimatize to elevation. Basically, you know, don't go try to do race efforts because you're going to be crushed. Take some nice hikes, walk around with the family, go get some coffee or whatever you're going to do, but just kind of take it easy and let your body do its natural
thing. Oh, and if we're going, we're going there early because there's a lot of cheese I need to eat.
From all these cows.
A lot of chocolate to eat as well. So with that, I think those tips are really great. And I think that leads us to the sort of the next phase of this course preview, which is
the actual course preview.
A leg break, a leg by leg breakdown. Now, in the show notes, you'll find the complete list with distances, everything in meters and feet and miles and kilometers and everything in yards. But we have we were really lucky to have Nicholas Ramirez from Envol Coaching basically give us a breakdown of the race. You know, they do training plans specifically for all the Atala races. And he gave us a really great breakdown. So we think you're going to enjoy that.
Yeah. And if this is an A race for you or a race that you really want to be trained up, don't forget to check out Envol Coaching, which we will link on our website. And Nicholas has some great plans on us there. So enjoy the leg by leg breakdown, which he has done the race himself, so he adds a little bit of his own flavor on how he did. So it's a really we really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was like a combo leg breakdown / tips / his
lots of nuggets.
Yeah, lots of nuggets. Lots of slashes in there.
The race is it's a really nice course, starting in altitude, not in the valley. You're starting a bit higher, and then you're going up directly. You're going to take 100 or 120 meter elevation straight from the start to reach an altitude lake. Really short swim. But when you're done with this swim, that's when it's keep going up. You're going to the highest point of the race, and that's going to be 300 meter more of elevation after the lake. Okay, and it's a really, really narrow single track. Then it's time to go downhill when you're at the top. Take it easy in the downhill. It's really technical, really rocky. You don't want to have a crash there or injure yourself because you still have a long way to go. You're going to go down to close to where you started the race. You're going to pass actually at the same intersection that you passed on. And then it's going up again a bit after this. This is timing 2. It's a liquid there. There is some station. It's going up after that. You're going to go up, up, up. And then you have a big downhill down to the second swim of the race. This second swim, well, it's across the lake. Usually it's headwind because the winds are coming from east. And it's in the valley. Then it's quite exposed. After that, when you exit, you're running a bit along the lake, then it's flat, and then you're at timing 3. That's the first cutoff, and it's time to go up again. Then it's a nice path there. That's a nice run, this one. But it's going up. It's going up, 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 200 meter elevation. And then you have finally a nice downhill, really steep, like all of them. And you are entering the water at timing 4, and this is a 900 meter swim. And then you exit in this bit rocky exit. It's small peninsula, and you are doing a short run there at this peninsula, and then you go in the water again, 600 meter. You don't even have to take off your tow line or take off your goggle. I mean, it's just up and down. 600 meter swim following the 900 meter swim. Okay, then this is quite long. You have to take it as a one swim, this one. It's like a 1500 meter swim. Okay. Good. Then when you're done with this 1500 meter swimming section, you arrive in the village of Seals. Really nice there. I hope you can enjoy the landscape. It's a great town with nice church. And timing 5 and energy. Take energy at every energy station. Take the time, okay? This is not a normal race. This is altitude race, okay? You need to be well-fueled. Then you're going to go up again to this pension, Pension Chiesa, and then running a bit along the mountain. And a nice steep downhill to the next lake, to the Silva Plana Lake. And in the Silva Plana Lake, there is a 600 meter to swim. After that, you have a long run, 3 kilometers, 3.2 kilometers, and that's where there is this switchback uphill. You can't see much because there is bushes everywhere. It's a nice single track. At least it's good. You don't see the end of this uphill. You don't know when it's gonna come. Well, I tell you, it's written on the uphill times and distance. It's a 210 meter elevation there. Then you will see it coming, and then nice downhill for the next swim again in the Silvaplana Lake, and the swim is along the shore. You have the shore on your right hand side. After that, you have a nice flat section. This is nice. You pass really close to the finish line, but it's really not the finish yet because you have the next cutoff at timing 7. And just after timing 7, this is the longest swim of the race, 1400 meters. With my partner in 2018, we were changing position in the front at this one. We were using a tow line, but we were switching. Then that's maybe something you want to train for, not to have always the same person in the front. Maybe you have to get used to swap with in the front with a tow line. It could be a bit tricky, but just a bit of practice. And then the last loop. It's a fantastic loop, actually. It was my favorite in 2018. A nice forest and a nice single track, very technical at the end. And then you have this panoramic point at the lake. This is timing 8. And when you arrive at timing 8, well, you're not at the top yet. You still have 165 meters to go of elevation, okay? Then you're going to keep going up after the timing 8. And finally, you have the last downhill of the race. You're going to go down 375 meters. It's a long downhill. Lots of gravel road on this downhill. You can go really fast. I mean, we were chased by a team on this downhill. And lucky we were good in downhill and quite fresh. And we managed to keep them away. But still, you have a last swim, a 700-meter swim on the same lake as you did the 1400. It's a last one, nice exit, and then you have the last 2 kilometers of running on the cycling pass. It's really flat, but yeah, I told you about the team that we managed to drop on this downhill while they caught us on the flat and they passed us. There was no way we could keep up with them because I was totally torn. The altitude really killed me, and that was really what was the hardest for me. That was the altitude. To do all these hills, and it's okay. I'm okay in the hills and downhills, but to do it at 2,000 meter elevation, that's really hard. Then do your training, do the workout I told you to do. Try to go in altitude. And well, you have to be as light as possible. Then it's time to start a diet. It's time to lose the extra pounds, because otherwise you're going to really blame these extra pounds. And when you will be going uphill with the sun in your face and really, really high gradient. Okay.
Well, that was pretty comprehensive. I would almost recommend, Chipper, that people listen to Nicholas's breakdown while checking out the show notes so they can sort of follow along.
And take notes. Like when I was hearing Nicholas run through this, I was thinking, okay, I would want to know this, and I'm going to make a little note about, hey, if we're trying to move up or pass or do whatever, this is the place to do it. Downhill. So you hear some thematics come through here.
Yep.
Now that we're, you know, two-thirds of the way through this monster episode, you should be sussing out some themes.
Yeah.
Up hills. And down. Hills.
Switchbacks,
technical trails. So these are all the things that were coming through. Now, again, we're lucky enough to get Helen from Arc Souls Ad Nature, who placed second with her partner Bella last year. And we go through and get her kind of leg-by-leg breakdown, kind of race report from Inkaden. And I think it's interesting to hear, one, it's to hear how this whole other women's-only race was unfolding and how they were coming up from the back. That's an interesting part. But to also hear which sections or which parts of the race stood out to different athletes.
Yeah, definitely.
I just found that really fascinating.
Definitely, and I think, I mean, anyway, we'll talk more about it on the other end.
The first running section is really terrible because it's not that steep uphill, so you can actually run the whole section, and everyone is running super fast. You can't, you have to calm down and do your thing there, because yeah, it will you will feel really bad when you do that first section. And then you have a quite short swim, and that's wonderful, because then for me and Isabella the race starts. And I remember that the first swim didn't go that well, no flow at all. We just we just swam, and then we came up, and then it's a very, very steep, small path up to the top of the first mountain. And you actually walked that part, or we did at least. We came behind a lot of people. Then you just have to accept your place, and then we knew that in when it's downhill, we can pass a lot of other teams. So that was exactly what happened. The downhill section is really steep as well. So you have to be careful, focused all the time, and watch out for all the other people when we're running down. You know, me and Bella, we are screaming and shouting and laughing. And we make a lot of noise when going downhill. So everybody moved when we just forced ourselves running the fastest we could downhill. Then we... you do like a loop, and then you pause where you ran the first section, and there's a lot of people there. So me and Isabella, we get a lot of energy of all those people screaming and shouting on us. And I remember that we were fifth or sixth place then, and we had a dream of maybe third place or fourth. So we knew we had to step up our game. And the plan before is that we go really slow in the beginning, and then we go stronger and stronger. And when everyone else, build up the pace. And when everybody else is quite tired in the end, we are not really that tired yet. So then we can pass them. So that was our plan through all the races to 2019. And we passed two ladies teams and felt like, we're strong. And I think this, we have maybe we've done half the race now, and on all the swims we passed a lot of teams, and then they passed us on all the flat runs, like when it wasn't uphill or downhill, everyone passed us. So that's not our strength, but the swim went really good after the first one. I can't really remember if it was cold or warm, but the swim are quite short. So everyone is really anxious for that prior to the race. I remember everyone talked about, is it going to be cold and what should we wear? And me and Bella, we didn't worry about that because the sections are quite short. So we had a good, feeling all the way through, actually. After the fourth swim or something, you come to this hill where it almost feels like it's 100% degree steep. I remember when I saw this, the second, now 2019, when I saw this hill, I remember the first time, 2018, I saw this hill and I started to laugh, and I laughed this time as well because it's so hilly and steep. You can't, the legs are already quite tired, and it's almost like it's a joke that you have to go up there. But Bella just stepped ahead of me and pulled me in the tow line, like, we're doing this. And you know, Bella, warrior face, and yes. Super strong, and so I just followed her pace, and we made that hill. But it's almost like a joke when you see it. And I mean, that's the feeling you have when you do this race, that it's either super steep uphill or either super steep downhill. For the swimming section, they are quite nice. You can recover there and take a deep breath, because after the swim section, you have to go up again. And when you're up, you have to go down again. So yeah, that's how the course is. It's not the last swim, but one of the last swim is 1.6K swimming. And there, then you are quite tired. And then the water is actually quite cold also, because you're passing a lot of different lakes, and the temperature in the water are different in this. And the last one is the coldest one. A lot of the teams had problems here. But we managed, and I think I was quite cold afterwards, but you just keep running, and then you get warm really fast again, because of course you're going uphill again. And then it's the last mountain. Then you walk upward this small path, serpentine. Then you have to, and we were so close to a ladies' team, and we realized then that, oh my God, we're the second team now. And I think we had the closest we were, I think we're 300 meters. We saw them in one of the downhill on the last mountain, and then Bella turned to me and she's like, Helen, I'm super happy second place. And I'm like, yeah, me too. And then we just like, yeah, okay, forget about the first place. We just keep it cool. And we were so tired, but we were so close. And yeah, we have talked about this moment afterwards, and of course we really regret that we didn't, at least we could have tried, but now we were so tired we decided not to go for the first place. So anyway, we pulled back a bit, not to they didn't see us or hear us, because we sound like two drunk elephants when we run. Then we just kept going and came in for the last swim, and we saw that they were, I think the last swim is 600 meter, and they were in the middle of that one. So we had a chance. We thought that they were tired. We saw that they were tired, but when we started to swim, we noticed that, yeah, we are also tired. So they just disappeared, and we did our best, and the race ends with a 2K, I think, run, totally flat. But I remember the feeling was that the gravel road were a bit uphill, and the legs didn't want to run at all. But yeah, we fought together to the bitter end, and I think we crossed the finish line 2 minutes behind the Jenny and Desiree, I think, won. So they were there and cheering on us when we crossed the finish line, and we were super happy to come second place, because that's way over what we expected that we could perform in this course.
Well, we've talked to Helen and Bella before, and I guess it's not a secret since they said it on two different podcasts, yep. But they tend to really try to be really conservative in the front part of the race, which if you're looking at the leg by leg breakdown in the show notes again, or you're listening to Nicholas's report, then you'll kind of see there's a lot of big efforts at the end of the race. So I think it was a really smart strategy from Helen and Bella to race it that way.
Yeah, I think the whole keep it in your pants strategy at the beginning of a race like this, I think makes a lot of sense. I mean, there's a lot going on. It was really interesting to hear from them kind of how they progressed and then made some intelligent decisions about how they were going to keep hold on to second place. I thought that was super funny.
Now we're going to hear from Daniel Hansen about his course preview from his 4 years of doing the Otolo Inkaden.
The course, every run section is some uphill running, some downhill running. I think the first running sections and the last running sections is where you gain most altitude. So I think you gain, don't you gain something like 300 or most meters or more? So on the first mountain, I just keep an extra eye on how hard I push it, so I don't go too hard in the beginning for the first mountain. And because if you can save the energy, but have rather fresh legs for the last climbing, it helps you a lot, especially if you look at the total time. The trails are technical. We're still in the Swiss Alps, so in that way, I mean, their trails are well used, so they are not bushy but technical. The technical is about more how steep it gets. So especially for the downhill, uphill it doesn't matter how technical it is. It's when it's downhill, it's can be quite difficult. And for the first, well, that will be, when you go down from the first mountain, then you go down more than 300 meters on a trail, 350 meters or 400, and that can. That is technical, and that's quite tough for your legs. So in that way, it's very technical, as it's so steep. Every run section is some uphill and downhill. When it's very, very steep, you don't push your legs too hard. But there is, I think, the third running section. It starts running. The trail follows the shore. And then it goes uphill, and then it's uphill for quite a long time. But it's not that steep, but it's uphill all the time. And you find yourself choose to walk or keep running. And then on the third, I would definitely suggest keep your moving, running rather in small step, because if you start to walk on that section, the clock spins away. So I on the third leg, even if it's a very long uphill, it's not that steep, but my recommendation is to keep your legs moving, not start walking. When you're up there, it's a fantastic view, so I think maybe you'll forget how hard it is because it's so beautiful there. On that downhill run, when you are at the top of it and you start to run down again, you will get the most fantastic view, and maybe one of the good reason why you should go to this race. So I would definitely recommend or remind everyone who goes to this race that look up for a second and join the view before going down. On the last mountain, the first mountain, the trail is steep and it's very technical. But on the last mountain, when you do this 350 altitude meter and you're going down after the very nice view, it's more of a gravel road. So it's quite more easy downhill running. The swim section to take an extra notice about is one in the end when you have been racing for 4 hours. It's the longest one. Mostly all the long swims are you have to take an extra thought about. But as the water is very cold in this area, it gets more challenging to do the swim. It's about 1.5K swimming. So I always put an extra energy just to make it over this swim. A lot of people get very cold, and when they get up, they shivering while start running. It's not a difficult swim, but it's as it's 4 hours into the race and the water temperature is rather cold, it gets challenging. It's, glacier water, so the water is melting on the spring, and it's always a continuous flow of glacier melt water. So it's rather cold, but I wouldn't be scared for the cold water, definitely not, because you get your body heated up on the run sections. So sometimes, even if the swim is 600 meter, it can't be quite joined for to cool down your body. Rather than being scared for the cold swims, you can join or look forward to it to cool down your body.
I feel like that's a great transition to sort of the last piece of this preview. Now that you're
hooked, in.
You're in love.
You've registered. You probably registered.
You're going to Switzerland. You know the course.
You got now, your Swiss miss.
Now you have to train for the damn thing. So luckily, Nicholas Ramirez was kind enough to give us some training tips on how he would advise his coaching clients to kind of get coached up for this.
And it was really cool. He gave a couple really good key sessions and some really tactical advice. So, you know, get your notepads out, folks. This is a good one here. And we mentioned it again. Nicholas and Envol Coaching have race specific training plans. So if that's something you're interested in, I found them to be pretty affordable. Just go and check them out there.
Attilio Engadin has a few specifics to take into consideration. Because it's a really hard race, first you are in the mountains, which means the weather can change between the start and the finish, and it can be pretty bad, or it can be extremely hot. Then you are in the valley, which means it's very windy and it could be quite choppy on the water. The swims are pretty long. 1400 meters is the longest one. And you have also a swim of 900 meters. And other things, and maybe probably the most important, is the elevation. You're going to be doing a lot of elevation, 1500 meter elevation, which is less than Catalina. Otilo Catalina, but you will be in altitude. You're doing the race in the valley, it's 1700 meter, and then you're gonna go up you're gonna pass 2000 meter at the highest point. Then it's extremely hard to be ready for this race if you are not training in altitude. Then something else is the gradient. It could be really steep, some section, and rocky. And the downhill are steep, and which means it's quite tricky to go downhill and then to go on the cold water to swim, to repeat that a couple of times could be really demanding for the body. If now we can go into more the training. And there is a, for me to train for a race like that, okay, it's extremely important to try to go in altitude, to do some session in at 2000 meter altitude. I would really recommend that. And I will do lots of elevation, some up and down, preferably some long uphill and some long downhill. I'm talking about 20 minute uphill. I'm talking about 15-20 minute downhill. That's quite important to do that. I will also recommend you to swim straight after running downhill. Then one of the session I'm preparing for my athletes and my customer who are participating in Engadin, and that's something I want them to do every week. It's a long training of 3 hour training, and then they're gonna spend some time in the hill and then spend some time in the lake. Then the session is we're starting in the hill, 30 minutes of up and down. And then we're finishing the 30 minutes with a really fast downhill, steep. And then you go in the water and you swim 20 minutes. 20 minutes swim at race pace. You go out of the water and you go back into the hill. 25 minutes, up and down, up and down. As much as you can. And then the same at the end of the 25 minutes, you go downhill, fast, steep, and then you jump in the water, 15-minute swim, race pace. After that, you go back in the hill, 20 minutes, up and down. Okay, and try to, if you do it with your partner, then you you can try to use the towing line and pull your partner or get pulled. Okay, get used to it. Before the end of the 20 minutes, you go downhill really steep and fast, and then you go for a 10-minute swim. Race pace in the swim. After that, you go back in the hill, 30 minutes again. Okay. After that, really steep downhill, fast, 15 minutes more in the water, and then you're finishing with 15 minutes of up and down, again, running or hiking up. It's extremely important, this session. Now there is about 7 weeks before the race, 6 weeks. Do it 5 times, okay? In the next 5 weeks, do this session. It's a 3-hour session. Do it. The other session of the week, I will really recommend you to do a pure hill session where you take your steepest hill you find in your area and you're going up and down for an hour nonstop, okay? And then you, the rest of the week, you're doing your normal running with your long intervals and some distance running. If you need any tips about training, if you need some specific coaching for Engadin, it's still some time, contact Envol Coaching on envolcoaching.net and we will be happy to help you. Thank you, guys.
Well, Chipper.
Yes, Chris?
That, I mean, I think that we gave folks a pretty comprehensive, I think if you had any at all curiosity about this event, I think we've managed to quell that.
I mean, I feel like just the research and hearing everyone talk, I feel like I've done the race myself just because of how much information that we got and we hopefully provided for you. So
yeah, exactly. So we're planning on continuing to do these for other races. We definitely want to do it for some of the races in the US. Like we want to do this. Well, ideally we want to do this for all the major races, right? It's a lot of work. So we really want your feedback, whether you found this helpful, you want us to keep doing it. From our feedback we usually get, it's like, yeah, go keep working your asses off, guys.
Right,
like,
yeah.
We're cool.
And with that, again, we want to give a massive thank you and an appreciation to the folks that helped us contribute to this episode. Obviously, all this great content wouldn't have been possible without these great people lending us their time and their energy to drop some knowledge and share some knowledge with the Swimrun community. Again, that's Mats and Laritz from the Otolo team, Helen Vikmar, Daniel Hansen, and Nicholas Ramirez from Envol Coaching. Thank you for listening to the Low Tide Boys, a swim run podcast. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast and leave a review on iTunes if you're so inclined.
You can also sign up for our newsletter at lowtideboys.com. That's boys with a Z. And check out our meme page at The Low Tide Boys on Instagram. If you have any questions or suggestions for the show, drop us an email at lowtideboys@gmail.com.
We'd like to thank Writing Easy Records for our show music. And, of course, our wives for their support and tolerance of our swim run activities, hobbies, and other bullshit we do.
Finally, you can support our efforts on Patreon. Until next time, get out there and go for a swim.
And then a run.
And then another swim.
Then another run.
And then another swim.
And then run to the finish line. And just keep going until you're done.
Yes. Or
until
run
you
to
cross the finish line.
Or run to the car.